G'day everyone and welcome to another Chew in the Bat podcast. My name is Jack and I'm once again joined by Swizzle. How are you going?
Good. Keen.
Yeah,
How are we?
Yeah, very good. Very keen for this one. We've got a couple of big tournaments coming up in the tennis world. Also, a couple other sports to quickly mention. But first, how was Tuesday night fixtures?
It's good this week, mate.
Oh, I got a win?
It's good. We did. 4-0.
settle down.
The doubles. I was doubles specialist. No chance of getting on the singles court this week. Just being a bit sick, you know.
You've always considered yourself a bit of a double special.
I just don't have to move, mate.
Yeah, covering.
It's so good, especially when I'm playing with you. Like, I can just park myself at the net, and I'm like, I'm sweet.
Do your job, serve, put the volleys away.
That's it.
And we're home in hose.
But I did all right. We got the first two sets. First one in a buster, actually, and second set I think it was like 6-2, 6-3. But it was one of those matches where in the first set I kind of felt like we were the better team. We had a heap of break points. We're just kind of waiting.
But you still won the set.
Oh, yeah. Never in doubt.
You felt like it should have been a 6-3.
Oh, to be honest, like a 6-2 or a 6-1. Oh, like, okay. I was a bit frustrated that it went that long. But got through.
Very
good. And
then
changed partners for the second set. Mixed up and got it done a bit easier.
That is weird how they run that fixtures, hey?
It is, man.
You play one set of singles.
Yeah.
Two sets of doubles.
Yep.
But within the two sets, it's like two different individual games. So
yes.
You can have two different pairings, or one can stay, one can leave.
Mm-hmm. But as a tennis purist, the thing that hurts me a little bit about playing Tuesday nights, the no change of ends. You play the entire set down one end. You don't go and take a drink break. You take your water bottle at the back, don't change ends.
But then you change ends after each set.
After each set.
Including the doubles.
Correct. And then even the singles. Our team will be down one end for one singles. When the next singles comes out, then the other team will be down that end.
Right. So there's no change of ends after three games.
No.
It's after a set.
Yeah. And it hurts me because a few of the boys will take to taking drink breaks numbered games, mate. So it'll be like two love and they'll take a quick drink break. I don't mind, but I'm a little bit like, it's two love. That's not when we take drink breaks.
I would love to have been a fly on the wall in that meeting of how are we going to manage the scoring format for Tuesday, Brisbane, Friday, Tuesday night fixtures.
Mate, I've played in a lot of places.
Who comes up
with
those rules?
And like, I've never come across a setup like this.
I thought fast four scoring was foreign.
I would take fast four scoring over this.
Actually, that's another level. Anyway, good stuff. We're going to kick off things with a segment. A couple of weeks ago, you started off your own segment, Sport or Game.
Sport or Game.
The premise being you would give me a sport, let's call it a sport or a game.
Or a game.
And we'd have to kind of dissect the sport or game and either label it a sport or game.
Correct. Now, last week wasn't great.
No, well, I think you changed the game last week.
Yeah, yeah. So, I've kind of changed a little bit. This is more a discussion topic.
Okay, good. Yeah, we love
discussions. The Olympic Games.
Yes.
Olympic Games coming up.
Noted.
Each year, each new Olympics, they choose a sport to take out. And a new sport to bring in. Have you heard what the new...
Depending on like the host city.
Host city gets to choose.
The host country, right.
The host country, correct.
I have an inkling. I think I know what this one is.
They've decided to introduce...
Breakdancing.
Breakdancing.
So what was taken out for breakdancing to be put in?
Mate, I didn't go that far.
Anyway, breakdancing.
I don't think this is a sport. Like, I'm flat out. Like, this is not a sport. Like, well, it's subjective. It's like, but... Being the Olympic Games, my thing is maybe it's not all sports in the Olympic Games, because rhythmic gymnastics for me,
tough sport. It's great that you brought this up. I was listening to a podcast actually on James Magnussen. This is another big sporting topic at the moment, because they're doing this enhanced games proposal. Have you heard about this?
No.
It's like I don't know who is putting the money up for it, but James Magnussen is one of our top swimmers.
Yeah.
Ex-swimmer. I think he specialised in 100-metre free. Anyway, I was listening to a podcast about him talking about this enhanced games where they're bringing out this Olympic-style games with lots of prize money, but you can dope. You can performance enhance.
Wow. So, now this is sport.
So, we could go on for hours about this topic, but essentially he was talking about how obviously the prize money at the Olympics is... There's literally nothing. You're just playing for like a gold medal, essentially. And I think some of the gold medalists win X amount of dollars, maybe $20,000, $30,000.
I think it's more kickback from your country if you win the gold medal.
Yeah,
the Australian.
You're right. And yeah, he was going on about how it's almost kind of like you see a lot of amateurs at the Olympics. Obviously, you see your Djokovic's and your LeBron's and your Michael Phelps's and that. But there's also the bottom end where you have these amateur sports. For example, you know, at the Com Games and on the Goldie, we had lawn bowls.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's funny you brought that up, and that was a great listen.
It's interesting. I mean, I'd be all for the enhanced games, man. I think it'd be sick. I'd be interested to see what tennis players get
They were talking. They were excited about the money, and he sounded like that's all he was doing it for.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was as simple as just juicing yourself up and like letting it rip. I think there's a lot of science that goes in behind.
Oh
it.
No,
like
for
he
sure.
I think he was going to go to America and like have, you know, his blood tested every day and like,
wow, okay.
You know, so it's like a big thing.
Awesome. But quickly back to my breakdancing.
Breakdancing.
What's your thought? Sport or just let me, so really quickly, brief overview of the rules. Breakdancing competition will comprise of two events, one for men, one for women, and there's boys and girls events as well. They'll go face-to-face in solo battles. Athletes will use a combination of power moves, including windmills, the six-step, and freezes, as they adapt their moves to improvise to the beat of the DJ tracks.
So I guess there's a panel of judges then.
Judges will then vote to see who will take home the first Olympic.
So I always find these sports tough, right? Like, boxing is probably not... boxing's a sport. I think it's a sport. But everything else where it's kind of judgment-based...
Yeah.
That's tough, right?
Yeah.
Because you kind of just...
It's subjective.
Yeah.
my issue with it is the performance that wins one year...
May not win the next year.
Yeah. It may not even come close. But like if you run a certain time one year, yeah, you might get the silver medal or the bronze medal the year after, but you're going to be in the ballpark. You could come in and lose first round next year.
You're right. Breakdancing to me is like something that I would kind of doom scroll on Instagram and find like a cool little breakdancing
here. They are athletes. Like I'm not saying it's not hard. Like they are legitimate athletes. I just don't know if we can class it as a sport.
But here's the thing. I guess the breakdancing community are looking at like your gymnasts, your ribbon twirlers, your, you know, that kind of gymnast category and going, well, we're just as athletic as them.
Yeah.
We can spin, we can move. They're doing crazy stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess that's why they've pushed for a spot in the Olympic Games and it must be massive in France.
So my thing is maybe the Olympic Games is not the pinnacle of sport, but the pinnacle of games. Because there's a lot in there that are not technically sports.
You're spitting some words this morning, mate. Well, I guess you're right. And I guess, the prize money comes into it too. There's a nice prize money. But it's also, it's a massive kind of debate, ongoing debate, whether you see, like for tennis, for example, for some players, like a gold medal or a silver doesn't really mean much.
Mm.
You'd rather win a slam.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no kind of monetary value to the... It's just kind of prestigious because of its history.
Mm-hmm. The players that have won it.
Yeah, so you could be onto something here, mate.
We'll keep tabs on it, mate. Yeah. But there's plenty happening now. Plenty happening in the tennis world.
Yeah, but breakdancing, at the moment, it's a recreational activity.
Not even a game. Too good. But, mate, heaps happening in Vegas.
Mate, so before we get into some tennis, it's been very exciting for me as a rugby league fan, a massive rugby league fan, hopefully getting
Can
you
confirm.
Into it too.
Can confirm.
For the first time ever, they took round one, so not even a practice game, they took round one, just two matches, to Las Vegas. Now, I think this is something in the works during COVID years, like trying to expand the game.
Yeah.
Take it into America, showcase, you know, no helmet, no pads, contacts. Like, this is hectic.
Yeah.
This is Australia.
I remember a bit of advertising around it. Like, I saw what they were advertising in the States.
Yeah.
I remember them trying to kind of get it out there.
So, whether it's, you know, they're trying to capture, because what's the population of America? Jesus, like 300 million?
Plenty.
350 million? I think they're trying to capture, like, if they capture a small percentage of that, I reckon that's their idea. Anyway, so I think they've locked in for the next 5 years for their first round to be in Las Vegas.
That's very cool.
They played at Allegiant Stadium, and it was the second ever football game to be played at the stadium. Brand spanker.
That's cool.
Second behind this year's Super Bowl.
That's right. They did have the Super Bowl, didn't they?
Yeah. It's a ridiculous. Have you seen the stadium?
Yeah. So I was watching a little bit.
Fully, fully enclosed. It's a $1 billion stadium.
Mate, this, like this, the size of the thing is
the
just...
size. I think the seating is a bit more vertical.
Yeah.
So it feels like you're in a bit more of like a, I don't know,
a Coliseum. A little bit of Arthur Ashe vibes with that guy. Like, sharp
definitely,
vertical
definitely.
Seats.
And one of the most interesting things about this stadium is that the turf, the grass, is on this massive like rolling kind of platform. I'm guessing on hydraulics. And it gets shifted outside to grow. Right, to get some sunlight, to get some water and whatnot. And when it's ready, so they paint it and spray paint it outside, then they kind of just slowly drag it back into the stadium.
That's unreal.
It's like conveyor belt. It's unbelievable.
I've not heard of that before, mate.
Anyway, so yeah, the NRL going to Vegas. We had the Broncos taking on the Roosters, and the Broncos lost, unfortunately.
Who was favourite there? Who's the
Broncos were favourite. They're favourite to I think they're favourite to take out the premiership
grand final last year.
That's right.
I could see a bit of hurt in your eyes there.
Well,
mate,
it was a tough weekend for Brisbane with the Lions losing the grand final in the AFL.
The Lions hurt me.
And the Bronx losing the day after. So that was a tough weekend for Brisbane.
So Brisbane come in favourites.
Brisbane
good
favourites
match,
for
good
the
game.
Premiership. Good game. Pretty good footy. Pretty good spectacle. I think it was a good thing for the NRL to bring it over there, and a few American heads turning. I think, maybe.
Good. Some of, at least it's over there.
I think 95% of them thinking like, "What the hell is this?
Yeah.
What are these guys doing?" Because I think maybe 20 years ago, America tried to bring baseball to Australia to promote it and try and grow it and whatnot. And obviously, we've got cricket here.
Yeah.
And all. You know, we're all traditionalists in terms of cricket, and they bring baseball out here, and then we're pretty much like...
Didn't kick, hey?
No, just not great. It's not very
There is a bit of a baseball community still.
I know
a few boys that have played, and they're pretty good. But, just not as well received as what it is over there.
So, Broncos having a loss, and also Manly beating South Sydney in the first game over there, probably the most entertaining one.
Who was the favourite there?
South Sydney, I believe, Manly winning that one.
Okay. So both the underdogs
getting
underdogs
winning. But still, two massive powerhouse teams.
Yeah.
One of the questions being, because they're looking at only playing two games every year, obviously all the teams going to Vegas, that's a bloody good time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How do they choose for the next 4 years what teams go? Now, some of the ideas going around is you just kind of draw them out of a hat. Or you sit around a table and just pick a new four teams to go. Or, which I quite like, the winner of each match stays for the next year. And then they bring in two new teams the year after to try and to compete against them.
And just rotate the two teams.
So if you win, you stay in Vegas, baby.
I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
Or even if you get to the grand final. The two teams in the grand final get to go their first round over there the year after.
Yeah, so... Yeah, that's good.
I like that though, like earning it. You got to earn it, right?
But I think the idea is the fifth year that they're there, after they build a bit of momentum, they're going to try and get a State of Origin match over there.
Oh, that'd be... Oh, yeah. I don't know. Because I feel like State of Origin, part of it is the atmosphere with the crowd.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You go to that one of those matches, mate, and it's...
Like here at Suncorp or down in Sydney. Like,
it's
quite a spectacle.
But I don't know if you're going to get that in the States, because those big stadiums are hard to fill, especially when a... entire country, two states are going to look to fly over to fill it.
We will see. Anyway, so that's exciting. Vegas, NRL, round one kicking off today.
Tick.
Tennis news. Last week we had a massive week of tennis. I think Tomo took out a title. Some of the Aussies doing really well. This week, the Demon.
Demon. Holding strong there.
Yeah, in Acapulco, defending his title from last year, taking out Casper Ruud in the final in a pretty comfy... 4-4.
Like,
comfy.
Looked good.
And looked like, you know, taking control of the court.
I've seen Casper lose some matches where it just kind of like, it's just the way it goes. He doesn't look like he's fighting too much. Like, he can kind of just cruise through.
He thinks he's playing on a clay court.
A little bit, yeah. But, no, I thought Demon actually handled him really well, because I thought Casper, I think Casper was up a break in the second set.
That is right.
Yeah. And Casper was actually looking pretty good, but Demon was... Dude can run.
Well, a lot of doubt is out there for Demon, you know, whether he can actually like stay in the top 10 and cement himself as like a genuine top 10 player.
Top 10 player, yeah.
And even though he's like, he works hard and he's super physical, he's proving that he can stay there at the moment.
Yeah.
Defending a title is a tough thing to do on the ATP Tour.
500?
Defending a 500.
Against a guy that's good. Yeah. You know?
Okay, that's pretty good, yes. And also beating Tsitsipas on the way.
Yes, yeah, I like
which
that.
Which was a great win.
Yes.
Yeah, we love that.
We do love that.
We love that from the Demon. Also, this is probably story of the week. This involves Demon. Demon's girlfriend plays on the WTA tour from Britain, Katie Boulter.
Katie Boulter.
So she ended up also taking out the WTA 500 the day after. So what Demon did, so Demon was playing in Mexico, Acapulco. He finished, the match started at 9 p.m., finished at about 12, like midnight, a bit before midnight. Media obligations finished up about 1 a.m.
Oof, that's rough.
He then got a taxi to the airport at 4 a.m. I don't think he slept that night. To then fly to San Diego to catch the final for his girlfriend, Katie.
Tick.
Of who won the final.
That's unreal.
That's ridiculous.
Right, that's
that is sick.
Just so, yeah, going was, from final to final.
Oh, it's an ATP.
Good, and mate, good win from Boulter too.
Great win. 7-5 down in the first set and then absolutely clean. I don't know, I didn't watch the match.
2-2.
2-2 in the last in the second and third set.
Yeah, like aggressive.
She was Kostyuk.
Yeah.
Very good player.
Like I don't think that was Kostyuk particularly playing bad from what I saw. Boulter just stepped up and started cracking it. It was really good.
The Demons game.
Yes, yes.
Up on the baseline, super aggressive, taking on the ball. So if you're on, you're on.
You're on, you're on.
Wow, so that's probably
a little power couple there, mate.
Absolutely a power couple.
So can she win a final without Demon there? That's the question.
Probably.
Or does Demon need to hustle? Like, you know, if he's finishing matches at 1 a.m., is it going to be like, look, I need you here. Well, I want to win this one.
Yeah, I was worried after the first set. You know, Katie lost the first set. And I was like, oh, geez, he's kind of flown all the way over here for, like, a loss. That'd be tough. Yeah. But, yeah, ended up getting three, which was ridiculous. Ridiculous. So, story of the week. Power couple.
A story of the week. Because the other one for me is Mr. Andre Rublev.
Oh, in more negative news.
Yeah, yeah. Now, have you seen the video?
Yeah, lost the plot.
I don't particularly think so.
Ooh, we could have a debate on our hands here.
For me...
So, the situation was Rublev was playing... Bublik. 6-5 down in the third set.
Correct, so deep in the match.
On serve, and I believe there was a rally that went on, of which there was a... Bublik hit a ball that was... controversial, may have been out.
High loopy ball that was kind of dropping real deep on the baseline.
Rublev obviously thought it was out, didn't get called out, so the point played on, and Rublev lost the point.
Yeah, so I think Rublev played that ball, one more came back, and then he made an error.
Then he
or
missed,
yeah. And then he's turned to the line judge.
And absolutely sprayed him.
Now look, he did lose it.
Yes. Yes.
He did lose it. Got right up in the guy's face, was quite aggressive about it.
Yeah.
And... then change of ends, he gets defaulted.
Yep.
The another line judge that was sitting near, he went up to the umpire and said,
speaks Russian.
I heard Rublev call him. I don't know what it was. Yeah. Some slur in Russian. And then the tournament ref comes out and says, no, I'm trusting the Russian guy.
Yes.
I'm trusting him. Oh, no, I don't care what you say, Rublev. No, it's done. It's dusted. Bublik comes over and goes, I'm good to play.
Well, the thing is...
I want to finish the match.
Well, the thing is that the linesman, the Russian linesman who was next to the guy being yelled at, thought Rublev said something really controversial in Russian.
Mm-hmm.
But then Rublev said he didn't say anything in Russian.
Yeah.
He was speaking in English.
Yeah. And I watched the video back and I've watched it a few times because I was like, I thought Rublev was a bit aggressive, yes, but he's got that, obviously, the adrenaline and stuff going. So I kind of understand him maybe losing it a little bit there. Players do it all the time.
Yeah.
I actually don't think he was speaking in Russian.
No,
I think he said how.
English.
It's out. Like when I was watching him, I kind of thought he was saying, what are you doing? How can you call that?
Yeah,
it's I out. Understood it.
Yeah.
A fine or, lose a point. Default?
Yeah, I think he should get defaulted.
You think he should get defaulted?
Well, I don't think it comes down to what he said. Like whether it was Russian or English, whether he said this guy's a moron or an idiot, I don't think that matters, but... I think what it was is his aggression and how close he was to the umpire, like in his face.
Did Serena get defaulted for yelling at that line judge, or did she lose a point for that?
No, she got defaulted.
Was it default?
I think it was default.
I don't think so. I think she had to finish out the match.
She did. No, she was arguing with the umpire.
Yeah.
Whereas this one was a bit more point blank at the line judge's
face. No, mate. She went up to the line judge and said, I'm going to shove this racket down your throat.
Oh, yeah. She should have got defaulted for that.
I don't know. When there's human error involved in these players,
I just don't think it's a good look.
It's not a good look. Like I said, I don't think he should have done it, and so, I think he should get a slap on the wrist, but don't default the player. Like,
default.
I wanted to see the end of that match, man.
Default. That's
good tennis.
He's got to learn to control his emotion in that situation.
I get
or
you.
Or at least not go to the linesman.
Go to the umpire. Yeah.
He wouldn't have got defaulted.
That is fair.
Yell at the linesman from a distance.
Yeah, no, I get you. There's other options. If he was a meter more away
from the linesman and yelled the same thing,
he would have been fine.
Played out the match.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So anyway, Michael Moe, I think the week before did the same thing.
Yeah, did he get defaulted?
Didn't get defaulted, but got a code violation.
Yep.
But then he said after the match he apologized and said that's not on like. It shouldn't have happened.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because Rublev has said the same thing. Rublev in his press conference said, yeah, I lost it.
Yep.
He admitted it. Won't happen again. I'll try to be better. They actually gave him all his prize money and everything back that they took away from him.
They probably forced him to do that.
Potentially. Conspiracy.
Anyway, so.
But that's it's the two big stories for me for the week, mate. But let's move pretty quickly through this next part. So I want to get through a few results.
Yes.
And then we do have live matches on at the moment at Indian Wells.
So staying in Indian Wells?
Staying in Indian Wells, but qualifying to start.
Qualifying, Jesus, the Aussies took an absolute belting in the qualies, unfortunately.
Saboth Wild takes Walton?
Well, Adam Walton, let's just stay on him for 1 minute. He's been having some great success recently.
Yeah.
Climbing up the rankings, I think came out of college and won, you know, back-to-back-to-back ITF titles in a blink of an eye. Straight onto the challenger scene. He just won a challenger in Burnie.
Yeah.
A career high at the moment, about 150.
Which is awesome, man.
Unbelievable. And then managed to get himself into qualies of direct qualies
for Indian Wells. I'm a big believer that when you see those players come through, you need to jump through these tiers pretty quickly.
100%.
If you get stuck at the futures level or the challies level, it can really hurt you. So to see him kind of go bang, 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 bang. And he can stabilize for a little while here and then go bang again, or like maybe he just keeps pumping it, has an unreal year, and gets inside the top 100.
Well, 100%. And this is kind of like the next level, right? So he's playing. He ended up losing pretty convincingly to Thiago Seaborth Wild, who's a class player.
Oh, he's awesome.
Weapons, awesome, and for Fancy someone like vibes. Walton, and even like Polmans, who we'll get to, I feel like this is the next level.
Yeah, a
couple more weapons.
Yeah,
you know, Adam's quite renowned for his movement and his consistency. And if he can develop a couple like big weapons in his game,
be very dangerous.
Top 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's going really well. Anyway, Walton losing. Mark Polmans.
Also losing.
Tough one against Liam Brody.
Yeah, lefty.
Bloody lefties. Tough.
Yeah, one of the guys we played on Tuesday night was a lefty. No, but just hear me out a little bit. He was average. Like, he was definitely the more average of the two players. But because of his lefty spin, it kind of hided how shit he was.
Swing into you?
Swinging it wide on second court. Like, yeah, it took a little bit to kind of get used to it.
Tough to handle.
But it hides you, your shitness.
It does a little bit.
Brody, I don't think, is amazing off both wings. But because he's a lefty,
yeah,
really, really tough to play.
Well, that's
so
why
Polman's
going
down there.
Success at Wimby for him.
Yeah, agree.
Polman's going down 3-2, quite convincing.
Hiji Carter. He had a bit of a tough one.
Tough one. Against a name we haven't heard of in a while.
And a good player.
Good player in Luca Pui.
Luca Pui.
So, I think 5-6 years ago, he came onto the scene as like like 19, 20 years old.
Yep.
Gun. Clean strokes. Big hitter.
Yeah, and had kind of said he wanted to be number one or like have a crack at, you know, being one of the big dogs on the tours, and worked hard to do it. I quite liked his attitude.
Yeah, it's a name we haven't heard of in a while.
Injuries, mate.
Absolutely.
Injuries. I don't know exactly what. I just know he's kind of been in and out. But it's good to see him back. He got a win over Hiji Carter. 5, went down. Oh, Hiji Carter got the first set 7-5 and then 6-1, 6-3 to Luca Pui.
Lovely. And that's, I think, the men's Aussies in the qualifying side of things. Obviously, we're going to see the likes of Kokkinakis, Demon, Purcell,
yeah,
Thompson, which I think some of them are probably on as we speak.
They are. Before we move over there, though, Storm Hunter did get a win in first round of qualies over in the women's side,
yes,
which was good. She beat Christian and then ran into Montgomery, who was the wild card into the qualies in the second round and lost in 3, 6-4 in the third.
Right. Storm just got announced for the Australia team, for Billie Jean King.
Yeah, how good.
Despite her loss.
Yeah, good. Like, I don't see that's a bad result, mate. She's knocking on the door of qualifying there. That's not bad at all.
Absolutely. So,
Other than that, we had Gadecki. She went down to Podoroska.
Yep.
2-4.
It's probably one that a match she could have won.
Yeah.
But, you know, at this level, there's no easy match.
And then we had Rodionova also going down to
Sara Rani.
Right? Yes, sorry, I was reading it the other way. She won her first round qualies, which is good.
Yeah, great. And then lost second
round. Then lost to Irani. Yep. Ooh, bagel in the second set, though.
Yeah, that's not great.
Not great. But so, I think that's it for the Aussies in the qualifying draw. Main draw. We're on at the moment.
Yep.
We've got a couple of Aussies playing today. Have you checked results? Have you seen where these boys are at, mate?
No.
So, Popperin at the moment. Where is he? Where is he? Popperin on court. Mate, I think I've lost the plot here. I've clicked on the wrong button.
We need our producer.
We do need our producer. Producer Frey, come back.
Producer Frey, where are you? Well, we've got a pretty littered draw of Aussies. Like, you think of all our top 100 Aussies at the moment. So we've got Purcell, we've got Thompson, we've got... Rinky must have just missed out on making main.
Yeah.
Wow, that is tough. He was the second seed in qualies, so there you go.
All right, I'm back. I'm back, by the way. Back to the Aussies here.
And so Popperin?
Popperin.
Currently on court against...
Well, it says Marazan, but it says match cancelled, so I don't know what's going on there. We'll have to do a bit of research.
Yeah.
We've got Kokkinakis, who's already taken a win over Marcus Giron.
Yeah.
3-5.
Pretty good. That's a very convincing win.
Very convincing win. And then O'Connell. Actually, a pretty good result. Lost the first set 6-1 and then won 3-2 over Jack Draper.
Great win.
Yeah.
Jack Draper's a bit of a stock pick at the moment in terms of him rising up the
ranks. He is, mate, yeah. And that fast 10s that they were playing at Indian Wells, I was watching Draper play that.
Playing well?
To be honest. I understand. I understand the result a little bit.
Okay.
Thompson and Shang, upcoming. So they start at 12 o'clock our time.
That's a tough match.
About an hour.
Zhang's been playing some pretty...
Really
pretty
good tennis, pretty man. Good and aggressive, too. Like, that'll be an interesting one.
And he's a unit.
He is.
I feel like... I don't know what's going on in China.
Broids.
I feel like there's part of the population that are very small in stature.
Yeah.
Like, the general population.
Yeah.
And then there's these, like... All, like, an exclusive group of these... Of the Chinese that are... physical beasts.
Yeah. Machines.
Machines.
Yeah. I think it happens in cultures where you get like a lot of, if there's like food issues.
Right.
Tend to be a little bit skinnier in stature.
Yeah.
But like China's a world-class country now. They can feed everyone. So I think it's getting to the stage where they've got a lot more food. They're able to offer these programs. Like, mate, I went over to China and the facilities over there are unreal. They put so much money into this stuff. Like I completely get it. If you get a kid that comes in at 3-4 years old, right diet, right training, you give them like world class facilities. You're going to come out with athletes at the end of the day. Like it's a science. It's not just like you're throwing magic in a bottle and hoping it comes up. Like
they're getting it done in China.
So and mate, I really like the way this boy plays too. He hustles, aggressive. He moves forward. Very good mover.
Big serve.
It'll be interesting. I hope Tomo can kind of get the win because he's obviously got a bit of momentum.
The Aussies in the second round, there's a couple of really strong matchups. So Kokkinakis taking on Jannik Sinner. Tough. Good night, sweet Thanasi. No?
I don't know. I just like Thanasi's forehand. Like if he fights. These are slow courts, right? Indian Wells, I think they're known for being quite slow.
I think all the courts are getting slow at the moment.
I was talking to one of the boys the other night, and he was saying, especially here, the balls bounce quite high, but they don't actually move through the court very quickly.
Gotcha. Oaks, O'Connell playing Alexander Zverev.
That's going to be tough. Going to be very tough. But as Zverev serves a little off, mate, you never know.
Demon taking on Tara Daniel. Should be
sure, mate. Like Tara's pretty good, but I agree with Demon coming off that title as well. Like he's going to be hungry.
Yeah, and that's our Aussie contingent. So hopefully Tomo can get through playing. And then he's going to be playing Bublik in the second round if he can get through. Shang.
Yes.
Tough one. Shang's a lefty as well.
Shang is a lefty, mate.
So yeah, super tough.
Over in the women's singles, currently on court. Oh, sorry, was on court. We had Saville, Daria Saville go down in a tight three-set match.
Very tight.
Yeah, so Para got up 7-5, 4-6, 7-6. It was 7-5 in that third set buster, mate. So knocking on the door of a second round.
That is tough.
Showing. But I can't see any other Aussies that have played today on the women's side.
That's pretty much it. We've obviously got Ellen Perez in the doubles.
Yeah.
Storm obviously playing doubles as well. And you'd think that that would be our doubles pairing for the Billie Jean King Cup team.
You'd hope so.
Of which is being held in Brisbane.
Yeah, April. Mate, I'm keen.
So, very excited. And just on that quickly, do you like how... So, Sam Stosur, the new Billie Jean King Cup captain, taking over Mollick's duties, she's releasing player by player. So, she's released... instead of releasing the whole team, she's first only released Storm Hunter.
Right.
I assume in a couple of days' time, she'll then release...
Whoever it is next.
Whoever it is. Dasha, maybe, or Tomljanovic, if she's fit.
Do you think the team's locked in? Or is she's only confident in Hunter right now and she's waiting to see how the rest of the field...
Well, it's going to be tough. Like, for the last position, I feel. I think you have Hunter and Perez, Ellen Perez, in doubles. That's a guarantee. They're both top 10 in the world.
Yeah.
That's a win. Then you have Dasha. Pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, like, tight match she just played, so.
Isla, if she's healthy.
Yep.
And then the last spot's kind of up for grabs. The next, but like, you probably have Roddy and Ova in there.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's five. And then number six, you have, obviously, Kimbo, Priscilla.
Yeah.
But then there's a young up-and-comer at the moment in Australia, career high 140 at the moment, Taylor Preston.
Yes.
So, who was, in the last couple of years, the BJ King Cup orange girl.
Yes.
So I think she'll
get a shot. She's put in a bit of time, yeah.
And she just spent the she just
Kadecki floating around as well.
Of course. So tough decisions. So I think you might be right. Maybe she's drip feeding him because she doesn't know what the team is.
Yeah, let's see how these girls pull up after Indian Wells and see who's in form and who's not.
Absolutely. Any more news to wrap things up?
Not too much. I mean, probably should go over the Netflix slam.
I didn't even know it was on.
Mate, neither did I, actually. I got home. I knew it was coming. Because all the times that I'd seen were Vegas times, so I just hadn't really clicked. And then I got home and it was like, Netflix slam, watch now.
So the Netflix slam being Nadal taking on Alcaraz.
Yeah.
In an exhibition
match. Yeah. So I actually thought the boys took it pretty seriously.
So it was essentially an exhibition match hosted by Netflix.
Yes. Yep. Exactly what it was. Exactly what it was. Like, it was kind of cool. We had Agassi, who was kind of promoting the event. Cool. Roddick was in there commentating. Who else was floating around? Johnny Mack. Like, they pulled out all the American big guns. Pam Shriver. Like, literally Courier was another one. Like, it was just all there. And it was cool.
And cool to be marketed by Netflix too. Get
some
more eyes
on
the
Black Court as well. Yeah. Like, I thought it was pretty sick. It was a big show and event, as they always are.
And obviously getting a hold of Nadal before he is too battered and injured.
Yeah,
retires.
And I actually thought because of that, it was quite good because Rafa kind of saw that as an opportunity to play Alcaraz when he's relatively healthy.
Yep.
Alcaraz also seeing the same thing. I get to play Nadal at a decent level. So they're both kind of, I don't think it was a shootout to the death.
No, but the quality of tennis was still pretty high.
Yeah. And like, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I'm really doubtful if Rafa can get to the French. Because watching him play that, it's two sets and a breaker. And it went late in the breaker, you know, got there. Just the movement, the way he's kind of pulling up, he's not as quick off the mark.
Pretty slow off the turn.
Yeah, if the ball's coming to him and he's not having to really do anything dynamic.
It's okay.
He's world class, right? He's one of the best. Like, he can still dictate and hit shots and
absolutely.
But watching him moving and trying to out-position Alcaraz, he doesn't have that anymore, man. Like, it's going
to
be tough.
Sad to see. Anyway, but it's good to see that he's still there, hanging on.
Yeah, mate, there's a chance. It's Rafa. Yeah, so I'm not ruling him out. I'm just saying it's going to be tough.
Never rule Rafa out, and hopefully he can do some damage at the French for his farewell.
Yeah.
Potentially.
It's going to be a farewell, mate.
You
got any other news on your side, mate?
No, well, pretty big news on the women's side is Simona Halep being cleared for her drug charges. Right. So she's clear to play. She's been in all sorts in the last... 12 to 18 months with this doping scandal.
We've spoken about it a little bit on here as well.
She took a substance from a fitness trainer or whatnot, I think like a protein shake or whatnot, and had that she'd been having for a while, and it had a illegal substance in the system.
Yeah.
So, easy to do, but yeah, she's,
look, it's I think there's going to be people sitting on either side of this.
For sure.
Like, as with anyone, Sharapova had the same thing. She came back, people were happy, but then people were like, she shouldn't be playing again.
A little bit different for Sharapova. I think she was actually like performance enhancing. Whereas
Melbourne
was a little protein shake here and there. So,
but I'm actually pretty happy. Like,
let the girls play.
Yeah, that's it, right?
Let them play.
I'm glad she's not coming back in at, was it 33 or 36 or something?
Yeah, after her ban. So
at least we get to see a couple of years of good tennis.
Yep, so great news.
And she's going to be hungry, mate. Yeah. She's going to be hungry to come out and prove a point. So
and win a slam.
Swiatek, Goff, all those girls, we better look out.
I think so. I think that's a great shout. Anyway, any further questions?
No, mate. I reckon we finish up here because we'll do a little rundown of Indian Wells next week.
Yeah, at the end of the tournament.
End of the tournament.
Our next chat, we'll have the Indian Wells men's and women's winners, runners-up, a debrief, and another sports or game discussion.
Oh, yeah.
If you've come this far.
And then Miami after that as well, mate. So plenty happening.
Oh, it's an exciting time for tennis. And then obviously rolling into the mid-year slams.
Clay court season.
Exciting. Thanks for listening if you've come this far. Swizzle, thanks for joining me for another chat about tennis and sport.
Thanks for having me.
You'll hear from us next week.
Bye.
Ciao.